Welcome to the Linked Up Church Podcast. We are passionate about connecting people to God, family, purpose, and community. Today, Pastor Trish Gregory comes with the fourth and final installment of her life-changing series entitled Resisting Arrest. Get your pen and your pad ready, and let's go into the worship center and hear what God has for us today.
All right, second service. Last week, I told you all that this is a continuation. I'm ministering four different messages in four different services. So this is a continuation from what just happened in first service. So I encourage you to go back and listen to first service's message so that you'll get the full scope of everything that's going to be ministered on today. But in the meantime, I am going to do this. I am going to... This thing is getting on my nerves. I'm going to just give you a quick synopsis of everything, and then we'll go it from there, okay? So last week we're talking about resisting arrest. I told you my story, arrested in Ann Arbor 1992, long time ago. I just found myself back on the University of Michigan's campus on this past weekend on Friday afternoon, because my nephew just graduated from the University of Michigan. Praise God. Congratulations, my Christopher Davenport. That's my brother's son, as a lead scholar from the School of Business there. And, you know, what's very special to me about that is that he was raised in a house full of Michigan State Spartans. His mother is a graduate. My brother went there. But their kids had sense enough to not go there. And when faced with the decision of the better school, even my nephew, who was raised, and he rejected the University of Michigan for a long time, he knew. But anyway, we're talking about resisting arrest, resisting the convicting power of the Holy Spirit who lives within every single Christian. We have the ability to make a choice, and our choices come with consequences. However, that resisting arrest, that Holy Spirit, he will lead us and guide us into all truth. Our foundation scripture is found in John chapter 16, verse 8 and verse 13, and it reads, "And when he comes, he being the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and the coming of judgment." It also says in verse 13 that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into the full truth. He won't speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and tell you things to come. God has equipped you with the Holy Spirit who will give you a life that shouldn't take you by surprise. It shouldn't. But how many of us have faced surprises in our lives? Right, but there is a God that in the midst of that surprise, he will also give us peace. We know and understand that what we're talking about is that believers must understand the power of conviction, arrest, and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. This furthers our relationship with God, learning to sense him in everyday life. This teaching is meant to help you gain an understanding of one of Holy Spirit's roles in your life and to further grow your connectivity to God and people. God's perfect will is that we live above sin, full of faith and godly knowledge, and totally trusting him in every area of our life. We're answering four questions. The first question that we talked about last week was, what is the chastening or the arrest of the Lord? And we learned what that is found in Hebrews chapter 12. And we learned there that even Jesus experienced the chastening of the Lord, or the arrest, or the leading of the Holy Spirit, the check of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, we will too. We understand that there are five assertions that the Lord makes in Hebrews chapter 12. Number one, that God does not rid us of the temptation of sin, though he's not the permitter or presenter of sin. Number two, that grace may run out, but mercy is always available if we receive it with repentance. Number three, although our conscience is earthly, it does serve as a moral compass, good or bad, in our moral standing. Number four, the chastening of the Lord is not always connected to sin. And number five, there is mercy for sin or wrong done, but the consequences of sin may very much be unavoidable. Now, earlier today, we talked about the second question, which is, how do we grow in the chastening or the arrest of the Holy Spirit? And we read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. That's where we were last week. And we talked much about that in first service, and we expounded upon that a little bit more. Then the second question was, what's developed when we're being chastened? That's what we just talked about in first service, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. You want to check it out first service. And so now we're picking up on the fourth question, which is resisting the chastening or the arrest of the Holy Spirit. What happens when we resist the chastening or the arrest of the Holy Spirit? We have an epidemic going about the earth today. And that epidemic is of suspicion, distrust, and self-centeredness. Distrust, suspicion, and self-centeredness. It says that men will become lovers of themselves in the last days, full of all kind of immorality. And it's centered around, and a lot of it is centered around how we treat each other, us taking advantage of one another. I mean, thank God, I keep saying us, but it's not this church. I know it's not y'all. I mean, y'all are just so clean and so right and so good. And I'm just so glad that I'm surrounded by amazing, amazing people. Praise God. Listen to what Titus says. Now, because of this epidemic that's going around now, and it oftentimes is a result of, I'm working so hard up here, y'all. I'm hot, so I'm steaming up my glasses. So forgive me for constantly going back and forth with these glasses because I kind of need them to see right now. But what ends up happening in society, what I see happening, or what even the psychologists, this here epidemic of anxiety and depression, it all stems from this thing called rejection and neglect. Okay, or fear. It's those three things: neglect, rejection, and fear. And so oftentimes we end up in spaces and places because of other people. And we give them more priority in our lives than we do God. And so when we've been hurt by someone, to defend our suspicion and distrust and self-centeredness with other people, where we don't want to share ourselves with other people, even though God may be surrounding us with people that just pull on us, that just seem to want to be there, right? And you know who do this? A very guilty group of people that do this? Men of God. Men of God. Men, period. But especially men of God, I've witnessed and experienced that men don't want to be exposed. And because they don't want to be exposed, they use whatever hurt, whatever issues that they've had from times past as a badge to not let people in, to not surround themselves with other people, to not engage, to not truly serve. They'll serve their families for the most part, but even that sometimes seems to be such a sacrifice, where God has created you to serve your family. You got to remember, the family, marriage was his first institution. Marriage was the first thing that he, the responsibility amongst people that he gave, not your occupation, not your education. He gave him a job, and then he gave him a wife. And so men, especially, but all people of God, people cannot hurt you when you live for an audience of one. And, you know, and I know that's a tough pill to swallow, especially when you think about, you know, you don't know what they've done to me. You don't know how they hurt me. You don't know, my daddy lived right around the corner with a whole nother family and never thought I was worthy enough to come and even get to know me. My mother had nothing good to say my whole life. She wasn't even there. I know people hurt you. We've all suffered a wrong. And as I said last time, we've wronged others too. And so when we resist the urging and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we're choosing ourselves to be God over allowing God to be God. And so when he's leading us, oftentimes he's leading us to do the very thing that we don't want to do the most. I mean, we act like Holy Spirit is doing that shuffle. You all ever go to the basketball games or the games and they do that shuffle up on the screen, they put the prize up under a cup and they shuffle it, ding, 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 and they shuffle the cards around, or the not the cards, but the cups around. And you got to guess where the thing is up under the cup. God's not doing that to you. He's not playing hide and seek. He really isn't. So if Holy Spirit is prompting you and you have this nagging thing that you really don't want to do in the back of your mind, that's probably the thing that he's telling you to do. And most times when you do it, he's not concerned with how someone else responded. He's concerned about how you respond to him. And even if that person doesn't give you what you thought you deserved, God has a way of making sure you get what you deserve and that you reap a return on that seed sown. Let's read Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 in God's Word translation. It says, Everything is clean to those who are clean, but nothing is clean to corrupt unbelievers. Indeed, listen to this. This blew my mind when I looked it up and studied it some more. Indeed, their minds and their conscience are corrupted. They claim to know God, but they deny him by what they do. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit to do anything good. King James says, to the pure, all things are pure. You know, when we walk around, oftentimes people walk around suspecting that somebody's doing something to them. We sometimes can posture ourselves for an attack. We are basically always on guard so that no one can hurt us. Y'all heard the statement, someone takes my kindness for weakness. I can't let them take my kindness for weakness. I can't be nobody's rug. But when you serve God Almighty, who died in the face of sinners, and he said while they were yet sinners, he still chose to die for us, for the joy that he saw beyond the cross, if he could become death for us, we can suck up some pride and eat some humble pie and yield ourselves to Holy Spirit when he beckons us. Right? I'm dealing with a situation right now. My best intention was to help this lady, was just to listen to her. She's a hurting mother. My best intention. And some of the stuff she said, I did agree with. A lot of stuff she said, I just didn't. I didn't say anything. But boy, when I spoke my truth, she's in offense right now. Even want to question my Christianity, right? Now, I know it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with her own issues and her own hurt. But if I was a simpleton and felt like I had to respond to every text, speak up and defend myself, how many of you know, with some folks, there's just no winning. If she's already corrupt, offended, bitter, in her own heart and mind, there's no niceties and no kindness that I could gesture that she would take it that way. Because to the unclean, all things are unclean. So sometimes we fight battles with people that just can't be won. We all know somebody that if you say hi to them, what you mean hi? I'm a grown woman. I'm a grown man. Some of them insert an expletive there. Can't you say hello? Right? So when you realize that, then you're okay with yielding yourself to Holy Spirit, because on the other side of that, he has a harvest for you. Listen to what the message version of this says in Titus chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. The message version says, everything is clean to the clean-minded, but nothing is clean to the dirty-minded unbelievers. They leave their dirty fingerprints on every thought and act. They say they know God, but their actions speak louder than their words. It says they're real creeps, disobedient, good-for-nothings. That's in the Bible. It's not me. It's in the Bible. It's not me. Like, did she just call somebody a creep? That's the Bible, message version. I told you it's the ghetto version. Listen to what Galatians chapter 5, verse 21 through 18 through 21 in the Amplified says. It says, but if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. If you are guided and led by Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. In other words, there's laws in the earth that are programmed to respond a certain way. We know if we sow into the Spirit, of the Spirit we'll reap everlasting life, Zoe, kingdom kind of life. But if we sow into the flesh, Galatians chapter 6, of the flesh we shall reap corruption, right? He says that if we are guided and led by the Spirit, there is no law. In other words, God's going to make his promises of harvest come towards you regardless. He's not concerned about whether you got it perfect as long as you were aiming to get it perfect. He goes on to say here, now the practices of sinful nature are clearly evident. They are, this is the sinful nature, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, which is total irresponsibility and lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no, you're not walking away from me while I'm talking to you. Disputes, dissensions, factions. That's when we get a group of people on our side to be against somebody else's side. Never had a conversation with that other person. Don't know either side of the story. Just took a side. No, I'm always down with mine and me and mine and all this here stuff. Right? I shared when that whole situation about my arrest happened. Mind you, the arrest, that it happened and it was really bad. At the time, I'm like devastated. I mean, I knew what I was doing. I made the decision to do it. But what came out of it was the very friend I was trying to help and protect, her family came against me. And I'm like, wait, what happened? Because see, the one that called my father to tell my father everything that happened was her. You know, they didn't give me my first phone call. At least not initially. But she called my father and told my father everything that happened, which corresponded with the real story. But something happened in the translation when she told her family. And that was the hurtful part. Now, I could have been like, you know what, I'm done with people. You know, I already had an attitude that I didn't like being friends with a bunch of girls. I did. I grew up with a bunch of boys in my neighborhood. One friend, Kaya Kelly. But other than that, it was all boys. So I was down with all the dudes in my neighborhood. I'll be that one girl with five big old goons. I'm serious. They were big for ninth grade and stuff. But anyway, so I could have just built up this wall to not even deal with that, fool with that, right? Because that was what hurt the most. She refused to be a witness, and I'm looking at, like, for real, but God. My father said, just leave it alone. Some people just aren't worth fighting. So I left it alone. And my father don't even know what wisdom he spoke to me in that season. Because I'm just now brand new Christian, and I saw God weave and maneuver that situation where they ended up working it out for me anyway. It says here, envy, verse 21, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like this. He says, I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God's way of living. So oftentimes we're not getting answers to our prayers, and we're so delayed in our happiness is limited, but we're so delayed in our joy because the problem seems bigger than the solution. But it's because we've chose our own way, which aligns itself with this list of things. And he says that when we practice, now some people, we make a mistake and don't think that, you know, some people make a mistake, but he says when we practice this behavior, when it's a lifestyle now, you know, I try to stay away from meddling with people, but how many of you know that the Bible is full of meddling with people? I mean, he's talking to believers. Most of the epistles, all the epistles are talking to believers, instructing us how to live. I call the Bible the book of instructions before leaving earth. Amen. So that's why we stand up here and minister against such immorality. Single folks, stay out the bed. Amen. Married folks, get in the bed. Christian folks, don't walk in deception and offense and all the things that people can walk in, right? We're constantly talking about that because a lot of times the demise is due to our own behavior. Not always, but a lot of times. We knew that we were supposed to make different choices, but we decided, just like I did, and even calculated how it should come out contrary to the word of God and the will of God. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4 in the Amplified, it says, consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials. Wait, hold up. You telling me to count it all joy when I fall into trials? Trials? That word trial, in the King James, I believe, is temptations. And it's translated as agitations. So when you are agitated, it's a picture of something being shaken. When we are being agitated, we're supposed to count it all joy? I don't like that. I don't like it when people are getting on my nerves. I don't like it when people are contrary to what I'm saying. I don't like being told no. I don't like it. Who do they think they are? Don't they know who I am? I'm from Detroit. First thing we want to talk about is where we from. And he says, be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. There we go again. Isn't that the same words that was used in Hebrews chapter 12? Galatians chapter 6. But this is James saying it now, not Paul. He says here, and let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking nothing. There it goes again. Lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. That means deficient in nothing. Now, we want a lot of things. But as far as what we need, he says, you will be deficient in no thing. If we practice and we pursue and we learn to count it all joy, when we fall into these temptations to speak up or to do something contrary to what Holy Spirit is urging us to do. Now, listen, I'm drawing a conclusion now, so because my conclusion is going to be long. Letting you know right now. Evil, temptations, disappointment, sadness, challenges, they are all going to be here. We are all appointed an evil day. And we will have to deal with the people that bring them. We are going, as long as there are, what did I say last week? People will do what? People will people. Right? There are consequences to any mistake. Bad things happen to good people all the time. And people have the freedom to make choices. We all said last week, did I ask this group or was it the last group? See, that's the problem with when you continue on. How many of you enjoy your freedom of choice? Yes. Let somebody tell you you can't do something. Uh-oh. You're going to try to do it just because they said no. One of my children, I won't say which one, but if you say no or you don't do this, they're going to do it just to figure out why you said don't do it. Right? So We all have a freedom of choice, but understand, I had an interesting conversation some years ago with Audrey, and it was really good because she was in the midst of making a big, big decision. And she said, I have to say no to something. But when I say no to something, I say yes to so many other things. And I was like, that's good. So whenever we say yes to something, we're saying no to a whole bunch of other things. And when we say no to something, we're saying yes to a whole bunch of other things. When we say no to sin, when we say no to what's wrong, when we say no to what's given us peace, we open the door for God. There's a menu of things that God could put before us. a menu of things. But when we say no to Holy Spirit, we say yes to a whole bunch of other foolishness that we really don't want in our lives. We say no to a whole bunch of things that God's really trying to get to us. Now, we understand that spending time in God's word, in prayer, and applying what we've learned and being a doer of the word and not just a hearer only will grow and not succumb to the issues of sin, because life already brings its own set of baggage, right? To love God is to know him, and to know him is to obey him, and to obey him is to serve him, and to serve him is to serve his people. Now, you know, one time I'll give us quick another story about being led by the Holy Spirit, and then it didn't turn out so good. Yeah, I'm a mess, aren't I? I'm a beautiful mess. I'm his beautiful mess. So, you know, when we first got married, I married my husband as a youth pastor. G-Fi. Represent to this day. And so one of the events that we went to was a skiing event. Soon after we got married in November, that skiing event was like in February. And we took a whole bunch of kids. About how many kids did we take? Yeah, about 200 or 300 kids we took to the mountains up in Michigan. Not a whole lot of mountains in Michigan, but there's some. And so we went skiing, and this is my first time skiing, and I got that thing. I was like, whoosh, whoosh. I did the bunny hill. Then I did whoosh, whoosh. I did the medium hill. Whoosh, whoosh. I did the bigger hill after that. But then there was the big hill, right? And so on the first day, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this big hill. It ain't that bad. So I go up there, and I'm like, whoosh, whoosh. And I did it. I was like, I'm Susie Chapstick up in here. Some of y'all know who Susie Chapstick is? Okay, y'all don't know who Susie Chapstick is? I ain't going to. Okay. Does anybody know who Susie Chapstick is? The Chapstick commercial. She was skiing. Okay, never mind. I'm dating myself. And so I'm skiing. I got that thing, right? I'm like, oh, this is fun. As long as I don't hit the tree, what can happen? So that was day one. The last day, I get up. And the first unction was just chill. Just enjoy the kids. Relax, right? And my honey, he was like, yeah, babe, I don't think you should go up on the mountain. I think you should just relax. We just chill, kick it with the kids, because this is their last day. And some of the guys, the boys, they were talking junk. So I was like, oh, I'm getting this mountain again, right? So I'm like, no, babe, I'm going to go do this mountain. I'm going to do this mountain. And I'm like, I got it. Right? Because the backside of the mountain was steeper. I get up there. And my husband, he's like, you sure? I don't think you should do it. So Holy Spirit had already told me don't. And then he gave me an audible voice by my way of my husband. I think that one child I was talking about that goes left if you say go right, I think he might have got some of that from me. And so I go up the mountain on the ski lift. I'm up there. And I'm with one of the young guys from the youth department. And I get up and I get off. And I got off with some confidence, too. And I'm skiing, right? And we had one of our youth leaders that was right, like, not too far down the hill. I'm not even a quarter way down. I see that youth leader, and I go to wave, and I'm going, tum, 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 tum. And my husband, being the husband that he was, mind you, we ain't even married 6 months yet. I've already broken my tailbone from jumping off of a waterfall. I've already, if you want an adventure, I'm your girl. And then I get up. And my husband, he's up there, but mostly he's up there to watch me. And he's looking at me like, babe, all right, you all right? I'm like, I'm okay. He's like, you all right? I said, I'm okay. He says, okay, we got to ski down let's go down this side. It's a little bit more subtle. I can't move my arm. He's like, girl, come on. You can move your arm. I can't move my arm. Girl, come on. And he's convinced that I'm just messing with him. I'm like, no, for real. I can't move my arm. So he's like, oh, Lord. I can still see his face. He's like. And the snowmobile ambulance come up the hill. They strap me in like I'm a mummy. And they take me off to the nearest hospital. And I found, see, some of you have seen this here scar right here because they had to reattach one bone. I had totally separated and broke apart my elbow and the I don't remember which one it is, the front bone up here. The humerus. No, it's not the humerus. Well, anyway, these nurses and doctors in here. So I got 6 screws in here, right? That's still in there to this day, and had to go through a long time of physical therapy and everything else to get it. Now, had I listened to Holy Spirit and my husband, Minister Johnny, you need to keep your mouth shut. Minister Johnny over there instigating, you see? I would not have this 6-inch scar on my arm, and would not. But my point is, Holy Spirit will lead you even in the simple things. He will lead you in, and believe me, when you ask yourself, should I? He's already telling you, maybe not. And he's trying to protect you from yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. This is why it's important to at least have a base of the knowledge of God and his word. It says, all scripture is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of error and restoration to obedience, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately. Not just when you're in church, but all the time. Behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage. It takes courage to live morally in this day and age. It takes courage to obey the word of God. Right now, there are debates, and the reason why it seems people are like, are we really spending this much time talking about these issues? The issues that they are talking about right now on the public scene, when you really think about it, impacts the family, God's first institution. God's first institution. And it's been the enemy's plan the whole time to break down the family. Because if he could break down the family, then he could break down the community. If he could break down the community, he could break down the city. If he could break down the city, then he got the state. If he got the state, then he got the nation. If he got the nation, then he gets the world. It all starts with one person being courageous enough to stand for God. Then he goes on to say, so that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete and proficient, outfitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we have the word of God living inside of us, when we are doers of the word and not just hearers only, when we make a decision to obey, even if it's one thing, God's able to take that and multiply that into a harvest beyond your wildest dreams. He says that we are equipped for every what? Good work. For every good work. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and 39 in the Amplified Classic, it says, but the just shall live by faith. My righteous servant shall live by his conviction, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, and holy fervor born of faith and conjoined to it. Respect other people's relationship with God. As long as they're on the journey, respect it and give them space to continue to grow, because they've probably grown in areas that you haven't grown in. Right? And if he draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul has no delight or pleasure in him. But our way is not that of those who draw back to eternal misery or perdition and are utterly destroyed. But we are of those who believe, who cleave and trust and rely on God through Jesus Christ the Messiah. And by faith preserve the soul. In other words, when we know to do what we're supposed to do and we draw back because we're scared of what other people might think, God says, my soul has no pleasure in him. So therefore, they're wondering why things are stopped up. They've gotten themselves out of the flow of the blessing. The empowerment to prosper. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 31. I'm giving you a bunch of word because the word works. Verses 28 through 31 in the King James 21st century edition, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew. Say, God foreknew me. who he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Say, I am in the image of God. That he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called, and whom he called, he also justified. Say, I am justified. And whom he justified, he has also glorified. God is looking to glorify you. As you glorify him, guess what? He can't help but to glorify you. He promotes you in seasons that you didn't think you should be promoted. He gives you favor amongst people that you didn't even know who knew you. It says, what then shall we say of this, these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? It's not just a quote. It's not just something to be said to get you all riled up and geeked up. No, when you are living in Christ, when you are yielded to the arrest of the Holy Spirit, he is empowering you to prosper so that anybody who rises up against you will be squashed in their effort. You may look guilty to man, but when your heart's intent has always been to please God, he will declare you innocent. He will declare you justified. He will say he was still called. He is still my righteous son. He is still my righteous daughter. And I have a great mighty work for them to do. You can say what you want, but he's still mine. And ultimately, this is happening. God's urging us to this, and I can read scripture after scripture after scripture for this main thing. We have Connect 40 going up in a minute. And there's Pastor Gregory. He's riled up. This thing's been finished for over a year. And we are going to be charged to act like Christians. No, we're going to be charged to really be Christian. I cannot wait. And I'm telling you, this is your opportunity to get in it, to get in the game. Say, put me in the game, coach. Yeah. It will be your opportunity to get plugged in, because ultimately this is where he's going. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18 in the New Living Translation. He says, and then Jesus told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Preach it to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes or any deadly thing without being harmed. And they will drink anything poisonous and it won't hurt them. Now go out. Don't go out drinking poison to see if it's going to hurt you. But basically, he's saying no weapon that is formed against them shall prosper. And they will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. God is looking for a group of people that will serve him and that will yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit courageously. Courageously. You will be tasked with a bunch of decisions, and one of those decisions will be to stay quiet or to speak up. Yes. Will you choose to speak up for his righteous cause? Yes. Will you be swayed by popular opinion or being politically correct for the purpose of acceptance? Or will you dare to trust God, speak up for his righteous cause, and allow him to go before you to make your pathway prosperous? Listen, God is not interested in cowards. He's not. In Revelation, he said, be hot or cold, but those who are lukewarm, I spew out of my mouth. You want to play church? I don't know you. Listen to what he says in Revelation. This is not in your notes. But in Revelation chapter 21, verses 5 through 8 in the Passion Translation. I love the way he says it here. He says, now mind you, he just got through saying, now this is in the last days, and he's saying every tear will be wiped away, all pain and sadness will be gone. He's just got through declaring what the state of the new church will be, right? And then he picks up in verse 5, and he says, and God enthroned, oh no, here he is right here. Verse 5, I started in verse 5. And God enthroned spoke to me, being John, and said, consider this. Now, I believe this is a word of the Lord for us today. I am making everything to be new and fresh. Write down at once all that I've told you, because each word is trustworthy and dependable. Then he said to me, if this has been, it has been accomplished, I am the Aleph and the Tav, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give water to all who are thirsty. If you are thirsty, thirst no more. Was that commercial? Stay thirsty, my friend. Yes, stay thirsty for the word of God, for his presence. He says, as my gracious gift, they will continuously drink from the fountain of living water. The conquering ones will inherit these gifts from me, and I will continue to be their God, and they will continue to be children from me. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the despicable, the murderers, the perverts, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all deceivers, they will find their place in the lake of fire and sulfur, which is the second death. In the words of the 80s, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Listen, I am compelling you. We're all on this journey together. I am not preaching to you as mightier or holier than thou. This, I said this earlier, this has been a study because I found out and I realized how ratchet I still was. We are all on this journey of improvement. We are all on this journey to be greater, better pleasing to our Father. And no matter where you are, he still wants you. He still loves you. He still can use you. He's still calling you. He's still providing for you. He's still healing you. His grace is abundant because he's saying that my love is what wins you. So come to me. I have great things in store for you. When he says that I'm looking to and fro all over the earth, for whom I can show myself strong to. Who can I bless? Who can I prosper? Who can I really promote? He's looking for people whose heart is set on pleasing him. He's not looking for a perfect person, because you cannot be perfect outside of Jesus. But when he sees the blood, when he sees his name, when he sees that badge, that circumcised heart, that tattooed heart of Jesus in you by your behavior, he's saying, oh, there she is. Oh, there he is. Oh, they did that in the past. Watch me turn that into a great testimony and ministry to other people. Oh, that's where they came from? Let me use the slums of where they came to minister to the slums of other people so that they can see that I can bring you out. Let me use, oh, you were fatherless? Okay, let me use you, man of God, to be a father to many people in your community. Oh, they called you a slut and a whore? Let me use that so that you can be a lover of many of other people and minister to them wholly. When your heart is set to please him, and you say, okay, you know what? People can't hurt me because I know the great defender. He'll use your biggest secrets to minister to many a people. I'm just going to shut it down right there. I'm already past my time. So, how do we wrap this up? Resisting arrest. All of you have had experiences where God is leading you and guiding you into things that you should do, but you feel intimidated by it. You don't know where to start, but also things that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. And oftentimes it's the thing that you are resisting the most that he's pulling you towards. It might seem hard, but he said the way of the transgressor is hard. The transgressor. Mind you, he didn't say sinner. Transgressor, as in the one that does not believe, doesn't trust God. That's who it's hard for. But I'm serving you notice this day. If it's the world, serve the world. But if it's God, let's pray. So Father, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, I just thank you. I trust that you've ministered to the hearts of your people and you've located them. And you're dealing with hearts right now for all of us to come up in you so that we can experience your come up in us. So Father, as hearts are being dealt with right now, Holy Spirit, as you're ministering, my prayer is that this word is sealed in their hearts so they leave this place being doers of your word, forever changed, to be bold and courageous in the face of adversity, representing you and giving you an opportunity to be glorified, but also to glorify us. I give you the glory, honor, and praise for these things in Jesus' name.
Praise God. I trust that this message has touched your heart today. Listen, we don't claim to have all the answers, but we do know one answer, and his name is Jesus Christ. So if you don't have a personal relationship with him today, we want to invite you to do so. Or maybe you had one with him, but you've just gotten away, and you're desiring to come back to Christ today. I want to lead you in a simple prayer today. If you would, repeat this after me. Put your hand over your heart and say these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died, rose from the grave, and he is alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. As a result of what I've confessed with my mouth and what I believe in my heart, I am right now born again and in right standing with God. In Jesus' name. Praise God. We are so excited for you. We believe that today is the first day of the rest of your life. Congratulations. We are so excited that you made the decision to get connected to God.
Thank you for listening today. If this message encouraged or inspired you in any way, please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app and leave a review too. For past messages, updates, and more, please visit us at linkedupchurch.com or download the Linked Up Church app. You can also watch live services, view past messages, and see our dynamic content for children, youth, and teens on our Facebook and YouTube pages. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Linked Up Church. And if you would like to support more of what we're doing, you can give online at linkedupchurch.com or text Get Connected to 94000. Thanks again for listening. Have an amazing week, and we look forward to connecting with you.